Hi, good morning. My name is Zheng Kai. I work for Center for Agroforestry, University of Missouri. Our center has a lot of research on specialty crops, for instance, chestnuts, black walnut, elderberry, and mushrooms, and pawpaw is one of them. There are some of my colleagues that work on the production of those specialty crops. Some others are doing some extension work, and I'm doing research on the marketing, consumer preferences, and financial research on those specialty crops. So how many people here have heard about pawpaw before? Well, because we are in the crop world. It's much higher than I expected. So here are some backgrounds about pawpaws. So pawpaws is native to the United States, and it is the largest edible fruit native to the United States. And it has been consumed by Native Americans by hundreds of years. And it has a very sweet taste. And it has a mixed taste of banana, mango, and pineapple. But research on pawpaws are very limited, and there's a lot of information is not clear. For instance, how many participants in the value chain of pawpaw market? So how many people they are producing pawpaws, how many people they are growing pawpaw trees, and how many people are in the are producing pawpaw value-added food products. So, and also there are some other information is missing. So, does the pawpaw market very competitive, and is that profitable for producing pawpaws? And the final question is consumer preferences to pawpaws, and what factors affect people's preferences to pawpaws? So, those informations are not clear. And for my research, I want to understand current and potential pawpaw market. So specifically, I want to identify market participants along the value chain, and I also want to evaluate the ease of market entry. So what factors affect people, prevent people from entering the pawpaw market, and the buyer and the seller power, and the demand and supply of the pawpaw market. And also I want to evaluate consumer preferences pawpaw, so consumer familiarity with pawpaw, consumer knowledge about pawpaws, and what factors affect consumer preferences. So in order to address those questions, we designed two different surveys, one survey for producers, the other one for consumers. And this slide shows our producer survey. The producer survey has three sections: the demographic information section and several other questions regarding pawpaw business and people's attitudes regarding pawpaw market. Pawpaw businesses, we asked several questions regarding people's position in the pawpaw market chain. For instance, whether they are pawpaw tree growers or whether they are growing pawpaws or they are value-added food products or they are retailers or wholesalers. And also we ask them how much products they produce and where do they sell their products, and also how much income they get from selling pawpaws and other products. And also we asked some questions regarding their attitudes on pawpaw market. So how do we think about the supply and demand of pawpaw market, of the pawpaw? And factors preventing people from entering the market, and factors that keep people successful in the pawpaw market. And also ask several questions regarding risks and opportunities in the pawpaw market. So this slide shows the questionnaire for the consumer. So we first ask about people's knowledge about pawpaw. Then we ask about their familiarity and consumption of fresh pawpaw and value-added products. Then we have a conjoint analysis investigating people's preferences to different attributes of pawpaw. So we select three different attributes: price, production process, origin, because those attributes were found to be influential in affecting people's preferences to different specialty crops. And for the price, we have three levels: $3.5 per pound, $4.5 per pound, and $5.5 per pound. For production process, pesticide free, so which means the production of pawpaw does not use pesticides, chemical pesticides. Organic pawpaw means the production of pawpaw using some organic methods and it does not use those chemical compounds and pesticides. The conventional just use some chemical compounds, pesticide, anything you can use to maximize the yields. And origin, so whether it's locally produced and whether the region of origin is unknown. So those are the attributes and the levels used in the conjoint analysis. And we collected our data through Qualtrics, and lots of people in this room has used Qualtrics before, so I don't want to explain more about Qualtrics. And we sample our respondents by sending email links to potential respondents, and our sample includes attendees of the first international pawpaw conferences and members at the North American Pawpaw Growers Association and attendees of the 2017 Ohio Pawpaw Festival. So we used both quantitative and qualitative methods. So results for a producer survey, and totally we got 81 respondents from our producers. And also I want to mention that because we didn't pay for our respondents, and because we don't have enough money for doing that, so we really appreciate our respondents for doing this for us. And of those respondents, one third of them are pawpaw tree growers, and one-fourth of them are pawpaw fruit growers, but 70% of them earn less than $1,000 a year from pawpaw. So those numbers shows that right now the pawpaw market has the producers, they are all in a very small scale. So in terms of barriers to enter the pawpaw market, production knowledge, production skills are ranked most important. And fortunately, now we have several agencies or universities that are helping people produce pawpaw. The Kentucky State University has a very good research programs in pawpaw production, and also the Ohio Pawpaw Festival, there are several guys who is good at producing pawpaws, and there is someone, the Peterson Pawpaw Company, they also provide very great production knowledge to people. So thanks to those guys. And also, it is interesting to see that market knowledge is not that important. I'm thinking this might be because I will talk about that later, and people think that in the pawpaw market, the demand is going to increase. So that is why people does not think market knowledge is very important. And also, advertising, brand name, access to credit, they are not important. So the results for the resources to remain successful in the industry, again, production skills, production knowledge, they are the most important. Marketing, not important. The advertising, brand name, access to credit, not important. And this result shows people's perceptions to pulpwood supply in the past 5 years. So 43% of them said the pulpwood market had been increased, but 43% said they don't know. And also, in terms of people's perceptions to pulpwood supply in the next 5 years, 60% of them indicate that pulpwood supply is going to increase, and 36% of them says, I don't know. So pulpwood producers seems like they do not have enough information about the pulpwood supply. And let's see the demand. In the past 5 years, 61% of those respondents indicated the demand has increased. And when talking about the demand in the next 5 years, it's 100% of them said it is going to increase. So this suggests that the pulpwood market is, that it has a great potential to grow in the future. And in terms of pulpwood prices, and fresh pulpwood ranged from $2 per pound to $15 per pound. Yeah, $15 per pound is very high. But I think the prices may depend on a lot of factors for the pulpwood quantities and the place they sell their product. Or I think Amazon might have a higher price for pulpwood because Amazon also charges some money for selling products there. And the frozen pulp, $8 per pound, pulpwood jam, $8 per pound, seeds and seedlings. And actually, the United States is exporting those seeds and seedlings to other countries. So another question about the substitutes of pulpwood. The majority of respondents said there's no substitutes for pulpwood, and the other people identified potential substitutes. In terms of market competition, respondents' result is mixed. So 38% of them thinks it's competitive, 38% seems not competitive. And consumer preferences. So we have 91 respondents, and a majority of them are from Ohio, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania, because Ohio has an Ohio pawpaw festival, and it has a lot of pawpaw educational programs and pawpaw eating contests in the festival. And Kentucky has Kentucky State University that provides a lot of pawpaw educational programs. So, but almost all of our respondents, they said they are familiar with pawpaws, and 70% of them had purchased pawpaws. Those numbers are high because of our samples, because we only select people from the pawpaw festival, association, and conference. In terms of knowledge and attitudes to pawpaws, people said, like the flavor of fresh pawpaws, like eating fresh pawpaws, and seems like all respondents have high knowledge about the nutrition value of pawpaws and the shelf life of pawpaws. And in terms of their preferences, higher price of pawpaws leads to lower consumer preferences, and organic pawpaws have higher consumer preferences compared to conventional pawpaws, and people are willing to pay $1.74 per pound for organic pawpaws compared to conventional pawpaws. And people also like pesticide-free pawpaws better than conventional pawpaws. Those locally produced pawpaws get more willingness to pay compared to other organic and pesticide-free pawpaws. So, and relative importance, when people are buying pawpaws, so they value the region of origin the most important. And then after that, then production process. Sorry. So, conclusion. And our result shows that most participants in the Popo market, they are small scale and they get less than $1,000 per year. But the Popo market has a great potential to grow because people think that the demand is increasing. And people like organic and pesticide-free pawpaws. So we suggest that when selling pawpaws, it's better for people to label their organic pesticide-free pawpaws and also if they can label their products as local. So thank you. Sorry.